Amen. Okay, let's see your Bibles tonight. Let's see your writing utensil, pen. And let's see your bulletins. Okay. Now, Michael Tate from DC Talk has his own band called Tate. And I don't know if you guys remember DC Talk. Kind of. They're going to be here next week doing a little mini concert, both 5 and 7:15, so you can bring your friends, come early, this service, whatever. They'll be here doing a little deal. Okay. Turn to Matthew chapter 25. Forgot what I had to do next. The Bible. All cell phones and pages, please, if you have them, please turn them off. We appreciate it. My daughter went shopping yesterday again. She said, "Daddy, I need some money." I said, "How much?" She says, "How much you got?" "I'll take as much as you can give me." And I had told my daughter a while back, I had given her $50, right? And I said, "Listen, I'm going to give you $50. She's an Abercrombie fan. And I said, "I'm going to give you $50. And if you spend this $50 wisely, I'll give you more next time." She interpreted that the next time she would get more than $50. I interpreted it as that I will give you money again. $10, $20, whatever. That's what more meant to me. But what I told her was, if you could be faithful in the 50, we'll do it again. Okay? If you are not faithful, you come back with one thing, you ain't getting any more money. Now, what we're going to look at today is we're in part three of a series on stewardship. And stewardship is your ability to manage what God has given you. Last week we talked about, do you trust God in his direction of his directing you to steward what he's given you? And this week we're going to talk about, does God trust you in your stewardship? In other words, if God can't trust you to manage what he has given you, why should he give you anything? Right? If you were unfaithful in your dating relationship, why should you expect to get a good husband or wife? If you were unfaithful in your job, why should you expect to get a promotion? If you were unfaithful in your prayer life, why should you expect to get your prayers answered? I mean, it's so simple, but we don't. We complain. We don't get what we think we should get because we're so arrogant that all we got to do is a little bit. We should get all this, okay? So God's looking at you. He says, "Listen, I want to see how much you trust." So in the story we're going to look at can God trust you? Verse 14. Look at verse 14. Matthew 25, verse 14. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey." Now, in this story, talents mean money because that's what it is. But what we're going to do is we're going to expand it past money and we're going to apply it to other things. And matter of fact, I'm going to give you 5 things in general, but it's not limited to money. But before I go to that, let's just watch this for a minute. He gave one guy 5 talents. He gave another guy 2 talents. And he gave another guy 1 talent. See that? 5, 2, and 1. It's pretty good. You can't do that. Now, you might say, it's not fair because he gave this guy 5, this guy 2, and this guy 1. That's not fair. Why didn't he give all of them 5? Let me tell you something. God is not fair. Everybody say it with me one more time on the count of 3. Say it very loud. God is not fair. fair. Now, you may be thinking, man, that doesn't sound right. God has to be fair. God is not fair. He's not. If God was fair, you would have had to pay for your own sin. Jesus wouldn't have paid for your sin. Why is it fair that Jesus would come down and die for your sin? That's not fair. Imagine, let's say you committed a crime. Would it be fair to send me to jail? No. It would? What if your little brother did something wrong and your mother gave you a whooping? Is that fair? We all been there, right? Right? Your girlfriend makes a mess and you got to clean it up. Your boyfriend makes a mess and you got to clean it up. That's kind of an everyday thing. For some girls, you always clean up your boyfriend's messes. Okay? That's not fair, though. Here's what God said. You're a sinner. You deserve to go to hell, but here's what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to send my son to die for you, and guess what else I'm going to do? I'm going to let you think about it as long as you want to think about it to get saved. In other words, you can mess your life up. And there Jesus is off the cross waiting for you to forget, ask for forgiveness, but you mess your life up, and God's sitting there going, man, look at them. They don't even want to listen to me. That's messed up. I want to love them. I want to forgive them. I want to cleanse them. I want to renew their life. And they're out there chasing all those wrong gods. They're not happy. They never will be happy. And I have the answer. But I'll wait. Is that fair? No. It's more than fair. It's beyond fair. So the fact that you have 5 talents, 2 talents, 1 talent, or 1/2 talent, you be happy with what you got. Okay? Be happy with what you got. Never try to figure out who's got 1, 5, 2, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50. It's just an illustration. Okay. Now, the other thing it says in here, that people, God gave people talents according to their ability to manage their talents. You may be complaining that you don't have what someone else has. You need to go to God and say, God, is it because I don't have the ability to manage what you have given them? Yes. Does it mean that I'll never have what they have? No, because here's the good news. We're going to see this in about 20 minutes, that no matter what you have now, you can get more. I want more spiritual power. I want more effectiveness in my spiritual gifts. I want more opportunity to do ministry. I want more space and room to have more people to do more ministry. I want more people on staff. We always need more staff. We need really administrative staff real bad. We're going to do these crusades all around the world. We need administrative assistants to organize that. Now, today, crusade directors, now, today, I want that. More money to pay for that stuff. I want all that. And God knows that. And I bug him every day. God, give me some more. God, give me some more. He says, be quiet. You don't got to yell at me. I know what you need. Just keep asking me, be patient. And when you're faithful in little things, I'll give you more. Okay? So, and guess what? We're going to see in the story just how you get more. So don't worry about what you have. Just worry that, hey, if I do the right things, make the right moves, according to his wisdom, according to his power, I can get more, and it's all going to be for his glory. And if he's going to give me more, he's going to give me more because he knows I'm going to use it for his glory, not for my glory. So watch the story. Watch this. Look. It says in verse 14, the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another he gave 2 talents, to another he gave 1 according to his ability, and he went on a journey. Let's talk about some of your talents. One is your physical body. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Do you not know that your body, rock solid right there, steel, you know what I'm saying? I had to say that. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? You do not belong to you. But this is my body. I do what I want. That's not your body. That's not your body. It belongs to God. Oh, I think I got to clarify this for you new people who haven't been here for the last couple weeks. If there's anything in your life, your body, your car, your money, your kids, your parents, anything that you have in your life that you think doesn't belong to God, but it does belong to you, if there's anything you want to claim is exclusively yours, here's how I can convince you in 30 seconds that it ain't yours. Tell God, God, this is mine, and you can't take it. Okay? Just want to clarify that, because some of you may be thinking, well, this belongs to me, that belongs to me, my money's my money, my car's my car. No, no. Tell God, if you think it's yours, God, you can't take it and you won't take it because I won't let you have it. Just tell God that. Okay? And then see what happens. So you want to decide right now, yes, it does belong to God at all. Just don't even test saying that, because you may lose some stuff. And, you know. So what it says here is that your body, it is you are not your own. You were bought at a price. Here's the price. Jesus paid, gave his life to purchase you. Therefore, glorify God in your body. He wants your mouth. He wants your eyes, your ears, your nose, your feet, your hands. He wants your emotions, your thoughts. He wants it all. The Bible says, present your body a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. Not a dead sacrifice. Okay, I'm a Christian. I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to go to church and sit in the back and... I'm going home. No. In the Old Testament, they would take a sacrifice, kill it, put it on the altar, and the fire will consume it, burn it to a crisp. In the New Testament, you are a living, alive sacrifice, and you put it on the altar, and God's Holy Spirit fire, whoosh, consumes you, but you don't die. You die spiritually to yourself, but you become alive to Christ. So God wants you talking for him. He wants you walking for him, okay? He wants you praying and laying hands and encouraging and serving for him, giving for him, building for him, studying for him, discipling for him. He wants you to do stuff. He doesn't want you to be a bump on a log. He doesn't want you to be a bump on one of these seats in this room. There's a whole lot of churches that have people bumps on seats. We don't want bumps on seats here. When people say, listen, Lord, I want to do what you want me to do. So your body is a talent. Your possessions, Luke 14:33. So likewise, whoever does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. What does that mean? That everything you have, you go to God like this. Okay, God, go ahead. Whatever you want to do. Now, if there's certain things in your life that you want to do this to, that's fine. But God, when he wants, will peel your little pinky one, little pinky two, little pinky three, and he will do it. And now, it could be painful if you hold on. Don't take it, God. Shut up. But if you just say, God, go ahead, all my possessions, whatever you want. He's not going to leave you without. Don't worry. He's not going to rip you off. You know, I was talking about tithing last week. And there was a church, Skyline Wesleyan. They challenged their church to tithe. And they said, we want all the people who've never tithed before to sign up. They had a little card, and they signed them up. And they said, we're going to have you tithe for 90 days. If you are not satisfied, we will give you your money back. I'm saying that to you. If God can't be faithful... You know what's the trip about it? Someone told me after service, this is very insightful, that if I said that to you, you probably would be more apt to do it, thinking I could repay you if you weren't satisfied. And you know what's so sad about that? That you would trust me to bless you or to cover your behind quicker than you would trust God. Oh, if he said he was going to pay me back, here's my money. Why would you trust me quicker than you would trust God? If God's telling you to do it, why don't you just trust God? That's how backwards that is. But, you know, it works, and people tithe, and they go, you know what, I don't want my money back because I've been blessed. I want to do it more. But you know why we don't do it? Because we don't trust God can take care of us. Last week we talked about trusting God. The other gift is, the other talent is time. It's 60 seconds in every minute, 60 minutes in every hour, 24 hours in every day, 365 days in every year, and 31,536,000 seconds in every year. What do you do with all that time? 31.5 million seconds in every year. What do you do with that? Well, am I supposed to count every second of every day? No. But But what you're supposed to do is redeem the time. Stop wasting time hanging out like this. Doing nothing. Tick tock. Yeah, I got an hour. I'm just killing it. Don't kill time. Invest time. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. I just got a Palm Pilot. I'm usually I like my 30-day to glance calendar, and people are trying to get me a Palm Pilot for a long time, but I like to see the month, except these little dots on this little computer screen. So I started playing with it the other day, and I was tripping. It's like, how many of y'all got Palm Pilots? Okay. Not that many? Okay. Do you know what they are? Okay. It's amazing. I'm thinking I could have phone numbers, newspaper, it's just gobs. And I'm thinking, how much I can get done in the same amount of time, just go my boop, boop, boop. I was in Colorado last week, and we had a meeting till 1 o'clock in the morning with these youth workers about doing these crusades around the country. And we're talking, and there's like 7 of us in this room, and there's one guy in the corner, and he's sitting in the corner like this with his little Palm Pilot. And I'm like, man, that dude, he ain't even paying attention. I said, what are you doing over there? I'm taking notes. He's writing notes on his little Palm Pilot. I was like, you lie. So after it's over, here's how much time he spent saved. He got all the notes. I had none of them. And he went up to the other guy with the Palm Pilot, and they stood in front of each other, and he went bleep, bleep, and it went right to the other guy's Palm Pilot. And I'm sitting there like Gumby, right? You know, can I have one? Can I have those notes? He says, where's your Palm Pilot? I'm like, I got paper. Can I write them out? He's like, nah, dude, you know. And they're like sharing business cards. Bam, bam. Just stand, they all stood in a circle and just beamed each other all this information. And here I'm thinking, man, I got to write that stuff out. Like that. Stop wasting time. God gave you the time. And one day your time's going to be up. It's going to be over. Gifts, 1 Peter 4:10, spiritual gifts. As each has received a gift, minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Do you know what your spiritual gifts are? Your spiritual, everyone say the word spiritual, supernatural. Okay, it's a tricky word, Enablements. Very good. Enablements. Those are mints that enable you to do something supernaturally. That means you have been given, when you ask Christ to be your Savior, you have been given supernatural abilities to do something to build his supernatural spiritual kingdom. This is not the physical, spiritual, supernatural, and you may not even know you have it. That's a shame. There was a woman, we went to do ministry in the Caribbean on the island, and there was a woman down there who had been raped a little while before we got there. She was married. She was raped in front of her husband. And it was a terrible thing. And I went down, and I was a young minister and didn't know what to say, and I tried to avoid the whole topic. And when we were there for 10 days, and when we left, we were at the airport. She brought me aside. She says, I want to thank you for encouraging me. You have the gift of encouragement. And I was like, I was trying to avoid you. I mean, I didn't want him to say the wrong thing. I didn't know what to say. And I still don't even know what I did. But when I got on that plane, I said, I had the gift of encouragement because I did not see myself as that person. And I started to think, man, if I got the gift of encouragement, I better use it. Amen? If you have the gift of encouragement, if you have the gift of evangelism, if you have the gift of teaching, if you have the gift of helps, of prayer, of whatever it is, service, you better use it. You're missing out. My gift is evangelism. One of my gifts is evangelism. One of them is vision. That means someone who has a gift, when they use it, God supernaturally works through them to accomplish that more than he would somebody else. That's what it means. So when I go places, because I know I have the gift of evangelism, I always look for people who are not saved and feel like, you know what? I probably can get them saved right now. God can. Because I just corner them and share the gospel today, get saved. I mean, that's my mindset. It doesn't always happen, but it happens a lot. It's like, you know, remember Luke Skywalker had that lightsaber? Whoo! Remember that? It's like you got this handle, press the button, whoo, and a supernatural laser comes out and it could do damage, supernatural damage. So when I meet people like in a store, if I'm in a store shopping, which ain't really often, somebody say, sir, can you need some help? My first thing is, are you saved? Because that's my thing. That shouldn't be necessarily everybody's thing. Some of y'all might have to get to prayer. You just start praying for people. Praying. You ain't going to say nothing, but you're going to pray. I'm not one to pray. I'm the one to just, are you saved? So now I got my gift, right? Right behind the back. They don't know. They're just innocent sinner, lost, trying to sell me some pants, you know? So they're selling me pants. I'm looking at stuff. I ain't buying no pants, right? So you go to church. That's my favorite question. You go to church. That can tell me yes or no. Oh, I go to this church, and I can know if it's non-Christian, kind of bogus, then I need to get it saved. They say, no, they don't go to church. They need to get saved. So they say, no, I don't go to church. Why not? I start asking my 20 questions. Bam. Get to the point. Listen, you want to go to hell? No one wants to go to hell, right? Okay, you need to get saved. Here it comes. Well, you know, I'm not really interested. Whack! Okay, I'll get saved. It's funny. And I leave the store. And they leave, and they're like, you got a spiritual gift, something like that. With your spiritual gift, you can do stuff that is just, God can do stuff through you that you can't ever do on your own. You have a responsibility to know what it is and to refine it and practice it and perfect it. It is your responsibility. It is not your responsibility to let me do it. The Bible says that God has given some to be teachers, pastors, evangelists, to equip the church to do it. It's your job. So God has given it to you. What are you doing with it? Has anybody gotten saved lately? Have you taught anybody any verse lately? Have you prayed for anybody lately? Have you helped anybody lately? Have you given something? Some of you have the gift of giving. Have you given anything lately? Have you served anybody lately? Have you helped anybody lately? You have the gift of helps? What are you doing with it? And if you don't do it, if you don't use it, let me tell you something. You're in sin. Sin. S-I-N. You know what the Bible says? To know what to do and not do it is sin. Quote, unquote. That means if God tells you to go apologize to somebody and you don't apologize, you just sinned. If God tells you to go over there and pray for somebody and you don't pray, you just sinned. If God tells you to go to Bible study, get up and read your Bible, go to Rockhead training, whatever God tells you, I'm talking about God now, not Miles, not the church. If God tells you to do this and it's in his word and he prompts you and you say no to God, that is sin. Well, developing your gifts and using your gifts is a given. So here are your gifts. Last gift is the gospel. How often do you share the gospel? How many people around you are miserable, tired lives, going nowhere lives, and you never tell them that Jesus loves them? You never tell them that God wants to forgive them? You never tell them that God wants to cleanse their life? You just hope that they get saved. What's up with that? So here God gave you all this stuff. Look what it says in verse 18, 19. After 16. Then he who had received 5 talents went and traded them and made another 5. Likewise, he who received 2 gained 2 more. He who received 1 went and dug it in the ground, hid his Lord's money. And after a while, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. Ooh, baby. Who is it? God. Yes, sir. You lived 120 years. That's how long I plan to live. I'm going to be an old crusty brother too, right? I'm going to be like this big, walking around like this. You lived 120 years. You were saved 96 of those years. You earned this much money in that time. You had these many opportunities to minister. You own these many pairs of pants, these many pairs of shirts, these many pairs of socks. You lived in these houses, you had these cars, you had these many kids. What did you do with all that, Miles? When I look at all that and I look at how I, God, could have managed that to build my kingdom, and I look at what you actually did, those two things aren't the same. Can you tell me why. God's going to do that with every single one of y'all. Every single one of y'all. He says, I gave you gifts. What'd you do with them? Did you know you had a gift of teaching? Did you know you were evangelist? Did you know you were a prayer warrior? Did you know that? Did you know that I had all this work for you to do? The Bible says we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that he's prepared beforehand. We're doing a crusade in Calgary, Canada in October, the last Friday in October, 26th or 28th, something like that. And make a long story short, I want to get into us. That office, the Miles Ahead International office in Canada, is going to do this crusade, and then next year, God willing, do a tour through Canada, build a network of youth ministries through Canada, train guys to do assemblies in school, and then do ministry internationally. None of that was my idea. All I wanted to do was a crusade. You know what God said? I got some other dudes up here that are just waiting for you to just keep being persistent, because we've been trying for years to do this, but they're not ready. And when you guys get to ready, pow! You don't need to know all that. All you need to know is, this is my gift, this is my job, I do this, and let God handle the rest. Well, he's going to come back. He wants to know. What did you do with what I gave you? Verse 20, watch this. Verse 20, it says, he who had received the five came and brought five other talents, said, Lord, you delivered to me five, and here's another five I have beside them. And in verse 21, his Lord said, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of the Lord. He who had received two came and said, Lord, you delivered to me two talents. Look, I've gained two more also besides them. His Lord said, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Watch this. God gave them this much. They were faithful in the little things. They came to God. And God said, good boy, good girl. Here's some more. What do you got today? It don't matter how much you got compared to him or her. It. All that matters is that you take what you got and you go, and you're faithful. And you go back to God and God, I was faithful in little things. Here you go. And God says, good boy, pat you on the head. Well done, good and faithful servant. And guess what he does? He goes, here's some more. How am I going to get more power? Be faithful with the power I got. Why do I want more power? To help more people. Elisha asked for a double anointing of the power that Elijah had. That's where that comes from when I say I want more power. A double anointing. Where do I get more resources? Be faithful with the resources I got. Where do I get more employees? Be faithful with the employees I got. Where do I get more money to do more ministry? Be faithful with the money I got. Very simple. Very simple. Just go, dee, 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 dee. Here you go, God. God says, I'm going to give you more. But here's what else he does. Look what it says. It says, enter into the joy of the Lord. My friends, you do not want to seek after the joy of Nordstrom. Someone say amen. You don't want to seek after the joy of Jenny Craig. Amen? Amen. You know, you don't want to seek after the joy of more money, the Dow, NASDAQ. You don't want to seek after the joy of a Mercedes or a Lexus. You want to seek after the joy of God, because the joy of God, you don't need anything to have that. I mean, you don't need anything physical. You could just be. I was in Alaska. I hate the cold weather, but I was in Alaska out of obedience to God, doing ministry. It was cold. I was in a lobby in this hotel looking out at the cold going, I hate cold. And there was a lion, a stuffed lion in the lobby. So I was talking to the lion. It's like, man, how'd you get up here? Well, you supposed to be in Africa. What are you doing in Alaska? They got you all frozen. See, you got frozen. That's why you're stuffed like that. The joy of the Lord came over me. When that happens, the whole world fades away, as you just saying. Nothing matters. God's presence. And you know, it's like God putting his arm around you saying, I love you. Don't worry about anything. I go, yeah. I like the cold. I like Alaska. And then I walked outside. And the joy was gone. I was mad again. I'm going to tell you something. You ain't going to believe me, but you got to believe me. Please, it's Sunday. You got to believe this. You know why? Because when people come counsel after church, You know what they're at? You know what is kind of, I kind of figured this out this morning? That when people, not, this is not everybody, and it's very subtle, it's not, I don't even think it's conscious. But people, y'all, don't, some of y'all, don't really believe what I'm telling you. In other words, you think it's something I'm not telling you. Come on, there's more to it, huh? So tell me how I could really be happy. Because people, here's what they say. You know, I'm doing this, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing this, and my life is all messed up. What do I do? I just finished talking about that for 45 minutes. I mean, I'll talk about this, right? People come to me and say, you know, I'm doing drugs, and I'm getting high, and I'm sleeping around, and I'm just miserable. What do I do? Now, I know they want encouragement, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying don't come ask. But what I'm saying, though, what I am saying is that I'm going to tell you the same thing I'm saying now. That these little things is all you got to do. It really, really, really is true. If you pray, read the Bible, and you're faithful to go to church, and you're faithful to obey, and you're faithful to do what God tells you, you will experience the joy of the Lord. You really, really will. This is not a trick. There's nothing else I ain't telling you. It's all in the book. Ain't like some secret pages I got up in here. You know, I got stuff in my shoe. It ain't there. It's all right here, black and white and red. And even in red for the color people, for the colorblind people. Okay? Not the color people, the colorblind people. You know, one of my favorite comedians is Red Fox. He bless his sinful heart. That brother was a heathen, boy. But I was watching Sanford and Son, and the police came. He had been robbed, and the police came. Remember the two cops who come? One was white, one was black, and the white guy was clueless, right? And he goes, Fred, were they colored gentlemen? He goes, yeah, they were colored. They were white. That's what their color was. But anyway, y'all missed it. It was a lot funnier back in 1943 when I heard it. Here's what I'm telling you, that's not a lie. When the Spirit of God, trust me on this is true. When the Spirit of God is flowing through your gift, when the Spirit of God is using your gift that He has given you, and you are not involved, what I mean by that is that you are just letting it happen. If you're a preacher when you're preaching, if you're a teacher when you're teaching, if you're a prayer warrior when you're praying, if you're a help person when you're helping, well, when that Spirit is taking control of you, there is no feeling like it anywhere. You have to believe that. You can get high on all the drugs you want. I used drugs before. I know how that all feels. Let me tell you something. Ain't nothing like that. So if you don't know what your gift is, and you haven't used your gift, and you haven't practiced and refined your gift and put yourself in a position where you can use it all the time, you haven't experienced the joy of the Lord yet. Or the best quality of the joy of the Lord. You haven't. Because there are certain things like I don't mind counseling people. That's not my gift. It is not my gift. I don't get joy out of doing that. Now, it doesn't mean, I'm not saying don't come talk to me, because I talk here all day. But if I have to sit in a room for hours with somebody, I get stressed. Like that. Why? Because God has not called me to do that, period. It's not because it's a bad thing. I worship the people who do that. They are the bomb. I just love them. I honor them. Because that's just not... Now, for them to have to do what I do, probably they will feel like, Everybody has a gift, but you have to find your gift, and you have to say, Lord, I want to do this. This is what I want to do. I was talking to a friend of mine who was a counselor the other day, and she was telling me how she would talk to people, and sometimes she would just answer that question in one counseling session. Now, here's my response. Isn't that great? You just get to talk to them one time? You know what she said? You know, no, I really like the process. Because I don't, I assume that she didn't, but that's her gift. And I was like, okay, that's really weird, but that's okay. There's nothing weird about it at all. That's just what God gave her to do. And when you find out what God gives you to do, oh my gosh, you can't stop doing it. That's why when people ask me a counseling question, I start preaching, because I'm a preacher, so I like to preach. So I give them a mini sermon right there, one-on-one. And they're like, okay, okay. And they got to get away from me because I'm yelling at them. But look what it says in verse 24. He who had received one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown, scatter where I have not scattered seed. So that you should have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back with interest. Last week we talked about tithing. Matter of fact, you're in Matthew. Turn the book right before to Malachi. God does not want you to give back to him what he gave you. He wants increase. It is not acceptable for you to give God back to him what he gave you. He could have given it to a donkey and got back what he gave you. He requires you to let him manage it through you. And if you don't, you are cheating God out of opportunity to bless you. Look what it says in Malachi 3:8. And I want you to key on the word rob. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in the house. And try me in this. Test me, says the Lord, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing that there will be not enough room to receive it. Now, this is what God's saying. You can relate this to money, which this is what it's talking about, but you can relate it to every area of your life. We talked last week. A lady came up to me after. She says, I never knew you were supposed to give 10%. I just gave what was in my pocket. No, God wants you to give him 10%. It takes faith. You don't like that? Well, it's his money. If you want to be blessed, you do what he says. Bottom line, he set the standard, not me. But you know what he says here? You robbed me. If you do what I say, I will bless you. And he says, test me. Test me. Take me up on it and watch and see. And if I'm wrong, don't do it anymore. That's why that church gave the money back guarantee. If you do it faithfully and God doesn't bless you, I'll give you money back. That's what he said. Because God says it right there. You test me, that I'll give you so much your storehouses can't fill it. You can't hold it. And that's what we want. We want so much blessing we can't handle it. God says, well, here's how you do it. Well, see, it takes faith. Do you trust God? But here's what he says. You robbed me. Why is it robbing God? Well, one, he wants it in his church so he can use it for ministry. But there's another way of robbing. I think this is even bigger than that. I really believe this is bigger than robbing the church or the ministry, the opportunity to do a ministry. God has given you this much money, this much talent, this much opportunity, this much whatever. And he's saying, I want you to dedicate, at least with the money thing, 10%, but all the stuff, I want 100%. If you give me that, you are enabling me an opportunity to bless you more. But by you not trusting me and by you not having faith, you are robbing me of that opportunity. You're robbing yourself of that opportunity. You're robbing the kingdom of God of that opportunity to bless you. Because what God's saying is, I give you all these resources. I want to teach you how to manage them. But the only way you can manage them according to my plan and my glory, that my kingdom will be expanded, the only way you can do it right is to do it my way. So if you don't do it my way, you are minimizing the blessing potential. You are minimizing your transformation potential, kingdom building potential. That's why you have to say, God, I don't want to get in the way. Billy Graham was talking to Larry King. Larry King got to get saved. That brother is going to be in trouble if he don't get saved. As much as he talks to Billy Graham face to face in front of millions of people, Billy Graham said, all I want to do when I go to heaven is have God say, well done, good and faithful servant. Billy Graham says that. And I totally understand what he's saying. Because I lay in bed at night stressing over, God, am I doing good enough for you? Has nothing to do with what you're doing compared to somebody else. Zero. Has everything to do with, are you doing what God told you to do? And some of y'all out there are better preachers than me, but you ain't preaching. Some of y'all out there are better teachers than me, and you ain't teaching. Some of you out there are better administrators and managers than people in ministry, and you ain't doing it. Oh, that's you. Hoo-hoo. Hoo-hoo. And you know the sad thing about it? Is that you're going to go to heaven. You're going to say before God. He's going to like, why do you trust me? Look at all the stuff I could have done through you. Look at all the people who got saved. Look at all the cities that could have been transformed if you would have just done what I told you. You robbed me. You robbed those people because you didn't have enough faith. Giving is one of them. Praying is another. I don't raise your hand, but how many of y'all don't tithe because, well, you don't trust God with your money? Oh, please. You don't trust God? He's paying you now. Remember, it's his. He's paying you now. Shoot, I want more money. I want more money. I want this church to have more money because you know what? I want to get a big old building and a big old parking lot and big old screens and computer things in the back of your seats where you could log in the notes in your church. Bam, right there. Load it, download it. Yeah, I want all that. And you know what? That costs money. So God, hook a brother up. You say, well, you need to get them people right because, you know, there's some people out there with some money. Honey, they ain't giving it. But you know what? I ain't going to force you to do that. So between you and God. But you know what? There's people out there. We're going to do this prayer thing, this prayer strategy through San Diego for our crusade July 4th. We're having a Miles Ahead crusade July 4th at the Coors Amphitheater. We got audio coming in out of Eden, and I think POD, they're still kind of praying about it. But we're going to do a prayer strategy through all San Diego. This is my goal anyway, to have every school adopted by a church and pray for every kid by name. You have any idea what that's going to do to the devil? You have any idea? Please say you don't, because I don't. We don't. He does. He does. And that's why I expect him to start, you know, coming and staying at my house again. He knows. We going to pray. And you know what God says? You know these guys. You know these guys. You know these guys. Why don't you put them, bring them all together and ask them, pray, and just do this, and we can just transform the city. I'm like, okay. He says, I want you to do this. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of y'all out there that can help us with that very mission in this very city, this very year. I don't want it. You know, I don't want to organize nothing. You know, I'm just going to go to my work, and you know, I don't want to get involved. We need a crusade administrator, someone who loves organizing events, calling up these bands, airlines, printing, sending stuff out. Can't find a person that's just fiend. Detailed guru. Just we need just one person. God's talking to you. You need to call the office.
Well, I don't know. They might not want. Hey, just call the office. I don't know when they're going to pay. Just call the office. I'm out of my job. I got to quit. I'm just so confused. I don't know.
Oh, just call the office. Some of y'all need to be saved. First thing you got to do is get saved. You got to realize that you are a sinner and that God has offered you the opportunity to be totally free from your sin. Why would you walk away from something like that? I went to the ice house in Mira Mesa to stop a gang fight. I heard it was Filipino gangs fighting. I went there, and the guy let me watch the door, and he was all nervous. And I said, yeah, I'll watch the door because I figured I could let the kids in and out. And, you know, I was a young minister, and I could get to know everybody and stop the gang fight. So I said, yeah, there's going to be a fight tonight. He said, yeah, man. He's all nervous. I'm like, what are you tripping for? Oh, man, it's just these two gangs. I was like, yeah, Mira Mesa and Penasquitas, right? Some little kids, right? He goes, nah. It's this Samoan gang from L.A. I'm thinking, now, you know Samoans, right? They ain't nothing but Samoan Negro. They some big brothers, right? That's all they are. Just like take me and just make me real big. And you got a Samoan, okay? That's my take on it. Say my opinion. They some cool brothers, though. I know a lot of Samoans. They so cool, laid back, big, large. This dude was 6'9". He had a hickey on his neck this big. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. The brother had... big old, I mean, it looked like he got shot. He had a cigarette in his mouth. It looked like a little piece of lint. His head was so big. The brother was a giant. He was a giant.
And I'm like, I never seen anybody this big in my life. I was like, yo, man, you want to shoot the place up? Go ahead. I ain't fighting. I'm going home.
But you know what? I was so scared to death. I was scared to death. But I was there. I was there. God put me there. And he says, you going to run home scared? I know, God, but I really want to. I mean, does my wife need me right now? Is there something else you want me to do? I found myself, there's like 300 kids, mostly Filipino kids and these Samoan dudes. And make a long story short, there was a little fight, a little skirmish, and they pulled this kid out of the room where the big guy was, and I followed this kid through the dance floor, and I was following him like this far, just walking behind him. Yo, man, someone's following you. What? Someone's following you. Let's go outside. I want to talk to you. He's cursing at me, every curse word. You know, I heard it all. Yeah. Let's go down. We go down, go to the back of the ice rink where nobody's at. It's like 30 degrees, right? And he's like, yo, man, what the bleep, bleep, blank, 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 blank you want? I said, yo, man, someone's watching you, man. He says, who? I said, Jesus. He's like, what? And he's like, oh, he starts cursing me, starts walking away. I said, hold up. If I had a suitcase right here with $1 million in it, and all you had to do to get it was to ask me, would you ask me? He's like, you ain't stupid, are you? Nah, man, I ain't stupid. I said, so if I had $1 million, all you had to do was ask it to get it, would you ask me? He's like, he thinks it's a trick question. Well, this is a trick question. So he wasn't stupid. He's like, oh, man, you ain't, bleep, 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 bleep. He starts, anyway, come here, man. I grab him. No, don't grab me. I said, listen, I go through the whole suitcase thing again. I said, you ain't stupid. I kept asking him, you stupid? Are you stupid, man? You ain't stupid, are you? All you got to do is ask. It's a simple question. It's not a trick question. Just answer the question. You ain't stupid, are you? I ain't stupid. All right. I want the money. Okay. Well, there ain't no money. I said, you know what? Jesus said, if you ask him to forgive you a sin, you go to heaven. If you don't, you go to hell. Are you stupid? Nah, I ain't stupid. You want to go to hell? I don't want to go to hell. We need to be saved right now. Well, about a half hour later, after I followed him around, he got saved. Now, this was a violent, this dude from a gang in, I think, Chicago or Detroit called the Disciples. He wasn't from the little PQ gang. He was, and we came this close to fighting so many times. He got saved. After he got saved, he was like this, just smiling. I was punching him in his chest. Just like, you know, like that, not really. But I was like, look at you, man. You're not even getting mad. And he's going, oh, man. And I kept hitting him hard, and he's like, oh, man. I was like, you're not even mad anymore. And he's like, and he was calm. They had the fight out there, and we kind of stayed in the back because I was doing ministry, you know what I'm saying? Well, actually, what happened was we talked, and then this big old crowd came out for this fight. So I was like, oh, my God, I got to go in here. That's when the big 6'9 guy walked out. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to die. So I go in the crowd. It's like 400, 300 Filipino kids, right? And I go right into the middle and grab the two kids who are fighting. They're like 14 years old. They're like little 90-pound Pee Wee Hermans, right? So I bring them out, and I go, what y'all fighting about, right? Oh, man, I thought he took my bike. And he said, I didn't take your bike. You didn't take my bike? Oh, man, it's cool. I'm sitting there going, I got scared for this. I said, both of y'all need to get saved right now. There's $1 million right here. Some of y'all need it. Some of y'all in here is so simple. All you got to do is ask Christ to be your savior, and it'll change your life. That dude that got saved is still, as far as I know, because I kept hearing about him, his name is Eric, is still walking with God. Changed them like that. That's how God does. He changes people's lives. In a minute, we're going to pray. God wants to change your life. He wants to go, whoop. It's scary, but you know what? You're upside down now without him. So if your life is kind of, it's because you're upside down. But when you ask him to be your savior, he goes, whoop, and all of a sudden you go, wow, I could see my feet are on the ground and my head's up in the air. Let's all bow our heads and pray. Oh, God, thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, I pray that we would trust you. Really, really, really trust you. You've given us so much. You've given us health. You've given us a church, friends, money, spiritual gifts, the gospel. Lord, I pray we would learn to be good stewards, to manage it properly, to use it properly. I pray we wouldn't rob you of the opportunity to bless us, rob you of the opportunity to grow, rob you of the opportunity of blessings that obedience brings. So for all of us, I pray that we would commit to being good stewards. Lord, if we don't pray, we need to pray. If we don't tithe, we need to tithe. If we don't serve, we need to serve. Simple as that. But Lord, there are people here tonight who they do not know you as their Savior. They've never asked you to be their Savior. They need to be forgiven of their sin. They're like that Eric. They're going to hell. But your gospel is all so powerful. If you realize tonight it's your day to be saved, your day to give your life to Jesus, pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, I believe I'm a sinner. I believe my sin is wrong, that it will kill me and send me to hell. Dear God, I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. I want to walk with you. I want to be cleansed. I want to receive those gifts that the preacher talked about. I want to receive that purpose and those blessings that the preacher talked about. Jesus, take over my life. Thank you, Lord. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer to ask Jesus to be your Savior, in a minute I'm going to ask you to stand up. And you may be nervous about that, and that's understandable. But this is the place to do it. This is the place to have your life transformed in the house of the Lord. So if you're sitting in Casa Real, that room over there with the shirts in it, if you're sitting in the lobby or here in the main auditorium, right now, if you pray that prayer to ask Jesus to be your Savior, stand to your feet and acknowledge his forgiveness in your life. God bless you. Good. Stay standing. God bless you. Good. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. If you're in the lobby, stand to your feet. God bless you. Good. God bless you. We see you out in the lobby. If you're in Casa Real, stand to your feet and stay standing. God bless you. Good. God has spoken to you. He wants you right now to respond to him. Don't worry about who's to your left. Don't worry about who's to your right. Stand to your feet and acknowledge him right now. God bless you. Good. We see you out there in the lobby. Good. God bless you. Good. Anybody else? Stand to your feet and acknowledge Jesus as your Savior. Very good. Good. Very good. Congratulations. Good. Good. Anybody else? Good. Good. Now we're going to ask all you who are standing to do one more thing. And that includes the people in the lobby. It includes anyone in Casa Real. We're going to ask you in a minute to come out of your seat and come down here to the altar. So we're going to ask everybody else to let them get out of their seat, get out of the lobby, get out of Casa Real, and come over here before we start leaving. So everybody who's standing right now, come out of your seat. Let's congratulate them. Come right down here to the altar and encourage them. Come on down here right now. Come on. Congratulations. Stay right there. Just face this way. Congratulations, man. God bless you. God bless you. You guys can face this way. Face this way. God bless you. Good. God bless you. Good. God bless you. Come on out of the lobby. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Good. Come over here. God bless you. 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 Congratulations. Congratulations. God bless you. Congratulations. Amen. All the stuff in your life, congratulations. All the stuff in your life, God knows. It's not hard for him to fix it. It's not. He created the heavens and the earth. So your problems, as big as they may seem, we read the verse in the Bible. What does it say? Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord he's going to bring on you today. Watch it. You just got to let him. The hard part is you're letting him. Your number one responsibility for the rest of your life, it's not to read the Bible. That's not number one. It's not to pray. That's number one. It's not to go to church. That's not number one. Your number one responsibility is to obey God. That's it. Now, you're going to read this because the Bible says it. You got to read it. You're going to go to church because the Bible says. You're going to pray because the Bible says. But it's obedience because God's going to tell you stuff that's not in here. What I mean by that? God may tell you, go over there and say sorry to that person. Now, it does say to apologize to people, but he's going to tell you to do it there. He's going to tell you to stop listening to that record. He's going to tell you to stop wearing those clothes. Very specific. You do what he says. You do those little things. Next thing you know, man, why am I so happy? All I did was throw out those old sneakers. You go, I don't watch the television. Pull out the cable. You know you still got some of those cable stations, right? They got to go. Clean out your refrigerator. Clean out those magazines. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Brother over there, we're going to talk. You know what I'm saying? Clean out those magazines, whatever it is. And when God tells you to do it, for all y'all, if you just do it. Please, before you go, just one more thing. I know it's late. Get out your bulletin and your pen real quick. We got homework for you. I want y'all to remember this homework. Very simple. Very simple. Very simple. Here, you can do this. Here, you want to do your homework. Okay? I got another bulletin. Here you go. Do your homework. Don't get in trouble with the teacher. Okay. Here's your homework. Very simple. I want you to write down three things. Three little things that you have been unfaithful in. Remember, be faithful in the little things. I don't trust you with the big things. Whether it be prayer, whether it be going to church regularly, whether it be tithing, whether it be serving, whether it be getting involved, getting in a small group. You all should be in a small group. Why not? Most of you, it's probably because you're just too lazy. Some of you have a legitimate excuse. I don't know what they are. But for the most of you, you're just too lazy. That's it. That's it. So you need to go. You need to do the little things. So I want you to write three little things that you have to do, that you know you're not doing, and say, God, I'm going to be faithful. Can I have my pen back? Yeah, let me try and steal my pen, okay? I'm pastor, you know what I'm saying? It'll explode in your hand. You be faithful in those little things, and you say, God, I'm going to watch to see what you do. Watch. Everyone do this, please, just one time. Do I look funny? So do you. That's okay. You watch and say, God, I'm going to do them, and I'm going to watch to see what happens. This week, be faithful. Now, we're going to send all these people down this aisle. Please let them walk out before you guys start flooding the aisles. Let's pray for them real quick. Lord, we pray you bless them. Transform their life. In Jesus' name, amen. We want to give you guys something, so just follow that guy right there. He's going to give you a book. Let's give them a hand.